You're listening to the Table of Malcontents, where Aaron Armstrong, Dave Schrader, and Barnabas Piper talk about the books they love and a few they really don't to help you be a better reader. Hey everybody, welcome to today's episode of Table of Malcontents. I'm Aaron, and with me, as always, are Dave and Barnabas. Guys, that's disgusting. What are you doing?
Just responding to some listener feedback we got about sniffing on the air.
We asked for questions, and this is what we get.
I was going to say, we got some good feedback.
Dave has some issues, all right? That's what we're going to do. Dave has issues. That's what we're going to go right at.
Yeah. That's true, but...
All right, let's just address this. All right, let's go straight. What's the tweet?
So we got some feedback from... Erin Bartels, who is
she's the wife of my other co-host's other co-host.
That's right. So
got it.
You guys got that
noted.
Straight.
That's, noted.
That's how you would all know her. All along with being a published author and writer.
Yeah.
That's
right.
I think she's an editor as well. So she does lots of things,
right.
But mainly my other co-host's wife.
That's right. That's
all right.
Well, she's a new listener to the show and had some feedback here.
Aaron, let's address it right on. Let's just go right
very
into
sub,
it.
Very subtweety.
Aaron,
it was excellent.
Aaron, I
boy, that one was.
I've got a powdered sugar addiction, and you know,
Dave likes to snort lines of powdered sugar using Monopoly money air.
Yeah, we were talking about this before we started recording. I said, was somebody's press record so we can capture this?
That's right. Times are tough in Christian publishing. So,
Aaron.
Sometimes you just need.
Aaron, my wife literally was like, you stop sniffing all the time? And I'm not sniffing powdered sugar now, but.
It's a little stronger.
I have issues. Yeah. I have issues. No, I have nose issues. I have nasal issues. I once had an argument.
Do you carry a handkerchief around
I do
with you
not.
So that you can like wipe your nose and then put your snot back in your pocket?
I do not.
Okay. You're of the age, so I thought I would ask.
Wow.
I once had an argument with my ear, nose, and throat doctor and my allergist.
That's interesting that there's a specialist for those things.
No, hold on. I did. Because they were competing for my business telling me what my issue is. Okay.
Right.
Allergist thinks it's allergies. So you need to spend more time with me so I can, you know, prescribe you lots of medicine that you have to pay for and medicine.
You need to spend more time with me.
And then the ear, nose, and throat doctor wants to have surgery.
I think that's called flirting with you, actually.
Yeah, no,
did he win? Competing for business.
Did the doctor
win? The old dude's trying to get with Dave while he was a 22-year-old.
Laid his hand gently on your knee and said, I think you need to spend a little more time with me.
It was the 90s. The 90s were awesome. You know, I mean, what can we say?
This is before or after you started snorting powdered sugar.
Oh, gosh. Silence your phones. You guys killing
me. Mine is silenced. I don't know what you're talking about.
Confectioner sugar better than powdered sugar, in case you were wondering.
Yes, at Aaron true. L. Bartels, I don't know what else to do. I'm just going to keep snorting, and I'll do my best.
I'm going to sniff
you
in solidarity.
And the rest of the listeners. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
you're
you.
Making my job editing a lot harder, guys.
Oh,
thank you so much.
I know.
I'm going to do it while other people are talking so that
please.
You can't clip it out, too.
Could you please not?
All right. I've also received the complaint from my co-host here that I'm drinking my ice water much too close to the microphone.
No, it's that you're chewing your ice.
Yeah, I'm chewing.
Drinking,
thank
it's
you.
Fine.
We're all
you.
Drinking
thank
water
you.
And staying yes. nicely hydrated in this 98-degree studio.
It is.
Right.
It is.
Not,
yeah,
to, be confused, not to be confused with the band 98 Even, Degrees, Dave's former favorite.
The 90s, again.
The 90s were
again.
A wonderful time for
little,
things
little
to regret.
Little known fact, Dave was the seventh member of 98 Degrees.
Wait, did they have six members?
I don't know.
Wait, let's see.
I think it's a four or five member group.
Right. 98 Degrees.
But regardless,
was,
he was the seventh member.
98 Degrees was Nick Lachey, right? Or I get them all confused.
I don't
Which
know.
One was
They're
he?
All the same. Except for the Monkees.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
Peter Tork.
Anyway, yeah.
anyway.
Moving on.
Aaron L. Bartels, I'm sorry. I'll do my best not to snort on air. And
notice he didn't apologize to us for chewing ice.
No.
I'm not gonna do that because that's not gonna end. All right, that's just what you get. I have not filled it up though.
We're just
Moving
gonna start
on.
Bleeping.
Let's talk about another topic that's gonna get Yeah, actually, you know what? You know what people are in the office are referring to me as now? Whenever I get all worked up, they say it's called
Angry Dave.
Well, no, this is 40 Dave. That's what it is. Apparently, when I turn 40, it's like, hey, he gets a little more worked up, or it's traveling Dave. It's like, you know, he's just.
I'm going to start referring to you as Cat Lady Dave. I think that's your new nickname.
That's my response. I'm just going to snort to the camera.
I think Aaron literally just muted your microphone.
Oh, man. I think he is. He's like, I got to adjust these volumes. It's like destroying my computer.
Yeah, I think we're going back to a solo podcast.
Is your computer going to make it through this one?
Yeah, it's going to make it through.
Okay, all right.
It's going to make it through.
All right.
Yeah, listeners, we've had a history of problems with my computer and recording this dang podcast.
Wow. Keeping it PG-11 over there.
I'm doing my best.
We have like 4 lost episodes, maybe 5?
Maybe. The mystery episodes are...
They're our best material, really.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Those
also, all the stuff that'll get us fired.
Absolutely. Those ones go all the way up to PG-13 sometimes.
It's true. Yeah. Or like a 1980s PG, which is kind of the same thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, but, you know, last week we were talking about, in light of your new nickname for Dave.
yeah. Wow. Can't wait to see what the Twitter response is on this one. This is great.
I mean, you should just change your name to Cat Lady Dave on Twitter. I feel like there's not one of those out there, I'm guessing, but...
Yet again,
you have more followers.
This podcast, just sucks. It just does. It just.
I can't even talk anymore. I'm sorry,
Aaron.
So proceed. So last week we talked about why are there these sociopaths who write children's books who always kill dogs, and we posed the question of why is there no such thing as a hero cat genre.
There is no such thing as a hero cat genre because cats are the worst.
That's true, but people on the interwebs wanted to know what it is the cat ever did to you, Barnabas.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah,
let's talk about that
real quick.
What did a cat do to your life to affect such change?
All right, so I have 2 answers to this question. One of them is a personal story, the other is more of a categorical observation. Let's start with the observation.
Sure.
And that is, I don't have a lot of personal experience with like demonic possession or evil oppression. But that doesn't mean that I do not recognize that demons are the worst and I hate them.
Right.
That is a very correlative observation to felines. Now, for the personal story. When my youngest daughter was about a year and a half old, we got a puppy, and after a few days realized she is profoundly allergic to puppies, so we had to bring the puppy back to the pet store. It was heartbreaking because black lab puppies are great, and it's, you know, she was like running from the eyes and sniffling and just couldn't stand being around the dog.
Right.
So like a year later, it was going to be a no pet scenario, it seemed. A year later, a coworker sends out an email like, hey, my next door neighbor has a litter of kittens that were born in the backyard and she would love to give them away. And I was like, well, delete that mess. Don't care.
Yep.
But then being attempting to be a good father, I don't know if I am one, but I sure would like to be. I started to think about how happy my kids would be with a pet because I knew they weren't allergic to cats. They'd been around cats before. And I was like, it's the right price. If you're going to get a cat, at least don't spend any money on it. It seems like a wise thing to do. So I ended up driving.
Stewardship, fair.
Digging one of these cats out of the hole that they lived in under the foundation of the house, a little gray kitten. And I bring it home. And so this is maybe 6 or 7 years ago, something like that now. And the cat lives happily with my kids. Well, I'm sorry. The kids live happily with the cat. Apparently, the cat was harboring resentment that nobody knew about. Although, if you look it in the eyes, you can see. You're like, oh, that's an evil animal.
Is there anything else but resentment in their eyes?
Carnivorous rage.
Mm-hmm.
A desire to devour all human flesh.
Right.
And resentment that they're too small to do it.
Ah.
So, like, 3 weeks ago, the cat disappears. Just runs away.
Hmm.
Never missed a meal. lived in warm, sheltered, dry places, was adored by two young ladies, and hated by me, but I did not commit acts of violence against it. And its response to this is to break my children's heart by just disappearing, just gone, which is indicative of the attitude of all cats. If they can't eat you, they will leave you. So there you go. There's my statement about cats and also why they are not the heroes of any stories. Dave, rebuttal?
I am not arguing that there are any like great cat stories in books. So I'm going to leave it there. But I will... I still will let everyone know of the famous writers who love cats, and cats were by their side as they wrote. Now, before Barnabas speaks up, I'm going to read some names off, and then you can respond.
All right.
Okay. Winston Churchill.
Uh-huh.
He had a cat by his side most of the time. Abraham Lincoln. Ernest Hemingway. Come on.
But I mean, he also had a great big bottle of booze.
Well, he was drunk, but you know.
He probably thought it was a dog, let's be honest.
And all the cats have like
that's a funky looking puppy.
Yeah, all the cats have extra thumbs and stuff. I mean, it's
sure doesn't bark very much.
Yeah.
All right. You know, I'm going through this list here, too. T.S. Eliot, James Franco. I don't know what to do with that, but I know Barnabas probably doesn't like James Franco.
That explains a lot. Now, T.S. Eliot actually wrote an entire book of poems on cats.
That sounds like the worst book of poems ever.
It was a weird book of poems.
Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe.
Okay, let me ask a question. When you say they had a cat by their side.
Yeah.
Okay, couple things. Other than James Franco, those all lived in a time when like vermin ran rampant. And so having a cat made
that's
sense
because
like it's vermin control. Rats, mice, voles.
These are ones,
like,
these are also
moles, groundhogs, like kill them all.
No. You're not going back that. We're going back like 100 years. This isn't that far on some of these guys.
Yeah, I know exactly when these people lived, Dave. You're not the only one who can read a history book. James Franco has no excuse. The rest of them had mice and rats. Also, I don't know what it means to like have a cat by your side. The only time cats are ever by anyone's side is when you don't want them there. They don't come when you call them, but they come lie on your paper when you're trying to write it. I think that's what it was. Winston Churchill's, you know, being a prolific correspondent, this stinking feline comes and lies down on his quill pen. And then, you know, he's like, he has to like bat the thing off. And so, yes, there was a cat by his side because it wouldn't leave him alone.
Yeah.
Yes, everybody. I have a dog that's documented now over the last few podcasts. I do have three cats as well, a mom and two sons. They are very low. Reading early in the morning, having cats hanging around is actually quite pleasant. And thus, you're like reading a book, and all of a sudden, you start hearing one of them just vomit on the floor as you're reading your book.
And, well, and it's and there's like a long runway to the actual vomit. Like this.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's like listening to somebody start up a Harley, you know, or before they take off, it's like. That's a cat getting warmed up to cough up a hairball, usually on an expensive piece of furniture, an expensive rug, or like in your slippers.
Well.
Should I continue with all of the reasons that I dislike cats, or have we summed it up for
whatever you've done well, you do express your issues. You just get that out about cats. That's
cats are my issue. Cats are the issue.
Cats are.
I'm doing just fine. Thanks.
There you go.
Let's don't tell my kids, but when the cat ran away, I was like,
what's the question in hand, though? There are no hero cat stories, right?
No. So but here's the thing. I threw it out. I threw it out to our listeners on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
And I got a story. A story.
A hero cat story?
A popular story or some random...
No, that arguably could
be... A T.S. Eliot poem?
No, that arguably could be a hero cat story.
Was it by Ernest Hemingway?
Like,
no, because he didn't write anything. He wrote about everything under
like
the sun.
Puss in Boots?
No, we're not counting that. No.
Okay.
No. This is cats acting like cats. And
okay.
Yeah. Sarah Finley writes... This story, which has all the makings of a best-selling children's book. And it goes
except
like this.
Except that it's about cats.
Even with it being about cats.
Wow.
It goes like this.
Right.
My brother was really mean to my cat, Bart. So Bart would go into my brother's room and pee on his bed. This happened often. It was horrible yet funny to me. And kind of to me too. I told Seth to be nice to Bart and he would stop doing that. So Seth was kinder and Bart never peed on Seth's bed again. I'm not a huge cat person, but I did love Bart. He always got his point across and didn't take crap from anyone.
He took a crap on people, but he didn't take crap from people.
Exactly. So
I have inadvertently slept on cat pee a handful of times. So
you are Good lord, do you wear like a house coat that's covered in fur?
No, hold on. I didn't know it till the next morning, and you kind of like rolling around like, the cat peed on my bed. The cat peed on my bed.
Dave. What? Come on, man.
It's amazing they're still alive. I know.
It's amazing you're still alive.
No, there are communicable diseases from these creatures. I don't even know if I can do a podcast with this guy. He inadvertently sleeps in cat pee and says it casually as if it's like to say, that's like saying I woke up with a crick in my neck. I woke up with a puddle on my back.
Barnabas, now that you've answered who your sucker punch is, it's me and the cats all together.
I'm not going to sucker punch you. You need to go to therapy. The cats all need to be sucker punched.
Whereas this is your therapy getting out about cats right here. This
all
is
right, all right.
Listeners, so, you are excellent. Yes. What we need in a good counselor is empathetic listening ears. I'm confident that you are that for me. I feel very... therapeutically restored.
Absolutely. So, listeners, tell us, give us some encouragement for Dave via Twitter.
I'm not asking for encouragement.
I would love a 5-star rating on the podcast, but actually rate your dog. Like, just give a 5-star rating to your dog on our podcast.
Sure. Oh, okay. Sure. All right. So, 5 stars. Best for your dog. One star is a bad dog. Like you don't your dog.
All dogs are 5-star unless they're smaller than a mailbox.
Okay.
So,
all right.
I think just 5-star right. ratings for your dog.
So can I share?
Haven't been to South Florida, clearly.
If it's smaller than a mailbox, it's a cat.
True. True. So
in true Ron Swanson fashion.
Yeah.
True,
so you guys know I don't really like dogs. Right.
Yeah. We have issues with you too.
I understand. But here's the thing, dogs like me.
It's because dogs like everybody.
Well, sure. But they go out of their way and like go out of their way to try to make me like them. It's really strange.
They know, man. They know. Yeah. They're like, he has issues. We're going to help him with those issues.
I know. Dogs are like, man. You know, there's like in a school classroom or a youth group, like there's the person who they always see the person around the fringes and they're like, oh, we need to fold them in. They're the super friend.
Sure.
Dogs are the super friend. They're like, oh, Aaron doesn't know that he could really like us, so we're going to go help Aaron really like us.
Okay, yeah. There you go. So we had some real stuff to talk about, though. Not this 20-minute excursus on animals. So what did we... Dave, you shared a question with us.
What was my question? Oh, about if they're actually like good books featuring cats? No, I mean...
The answer's no.
No, I mean, is there anything out there with like a cat as a main character? Period. Like, there's Garfield
that's a main character, but I mean,
we were talking about this offline. Like, I've never argued that there like should be a cat hero genre. I just don't know of anything.
My kids read a comic book called Hero Cats, but that's it.
Here's one thing. So when Marley and Me came out, there was like a flurry of all these like animal books in general, but there's a lot of like cat ones. People like finding these cat stories out there, but none of those books were successful, even among like librarian cat people.
It's because even cat people, even Cat Lady Dave knows that those books are bad books. And Dave of all the
even
people.
Even Cat Lady Dave, fill in the blank. I mean.
It's an excellent reprisal. Well done.
That's my new content. Content.
Yeah, you're bleeping. You're sniffing yourself out. There are some kids' books about cats.
Yeah.
That are not memorable.
Nope.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I've read a handful of those. They're just...
There's one about there's a firehouse cat.
There's Pete the Cat. You ever seen Pete the Cat? It's a young kid's
It's terrible.
Book. Oh, it's weird. It's like it rhymes.
Yeah. See, you know why?
I mean, there's Dr. Cat in Elephant and Piggy.
The reason those books work is because everybody knows that they're disingenuous. They're like, hey, here's this cat who was really nice. And you're like, no, that's a story about a dog and you just drew a cat instead. Like, that doesn't work.
It's true.
All right. Okay. I don't even know where to go with this anymore.
You know, I really do. I think we need
to. This has been a rant against cats, apparently.
I think we need to. We need to bring this back around.
I think it's been a definitive argument proving that cats are, in fact, hot garbage.
Hot garbage?
Okay.
Well, unless they're dead, then they're cold garbage.
Oh, man.
All right.
How many people can I offend? Should I continue?
Lord. Here's a real question. Here's a real question. This also comes from one of our listeners.
I also like to say I'm in a way better mood now than I was like 10 minutes ago.
I know. So. Great.
You are.
Great.
I really worked through some things. I'm feeling better.
That's good. This is what this podcast is all about. It's actually about therapy. We
leached the poison right out of my soul.
That's right. One of our listeners, Sandis, on Twitter says,
Sandy S?
Sandy S? Apparently. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe. Retweeted you recently. Yeah.
Thank you, Sandy S.
Yeah.
Sandy S.
So, at @saint_XIX.
I'm not good with Roman numerals.
19? Saint 19?
Okay. Saint 19.
Sure. Well, whatever. Anyway, we're just going to call you Sandy. So Sandy says, I've been wondering, how in the world do you all find time to read and read a lot while having families and jobs? How is it possible to read as much as you do? And do you read just for the sake of reading, or do you get something out of it? Is there a purpose in you reading books?
That's like 9 questions.
It is 9 questions, but we can get to at least one of them.
They're like, hey, you guys are reading a ton of books. How do you actually stay good workers? How do you stay good husbands? How do you stay good parents? How do you, like, fill in the blank? Like,
oh, I just fully neglect everybody and everything in my life. That's it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
For me, reading helps me be better at those other things because I will also say this. If your kids are very, very small, it is harder to there's two sides to it. When your kids are very, very small, you put them to bed earlier and you can get more reading done after they go to bed. So there's that option. The other is you just generally read less because really small children are very demanding of time. My kids are 10 and 13, which means they do a lot of things on their own. You know, they can do their homework on their own. They can go read on their own. Mm-hmm. They can go bike around on their own. Like, there's a lot of things. Like, I just sort of can create time.
Yeah.
Right.
There certainly are seasons when it's more difficult to find those margins, you know, I mean, and you point them out, like early on when you were doing so much physically for the children, you just don't have the time, or you're so exhausted from the lack of sleep.
You stare at a page and it just sort of swirls.
I didn't the last few years.
So it's like you're reading a marketing book?
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
No, that's when every page says the exact same thing.
Oh, right.
Next podcast. it's so much of it is, it's a part of life as opposed to, I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. It is ingrained into life. Mm-hmm. It's not just like this kind of thing on the side you do. It is just, it's part of who I am. It's part of who you are. It's part of both you are. I mean,
it's also like you do it instead of other things. When I hear people talking about, they've watched the entirety of Netflix. I'm like, you know what else you didn't do?
Yeah.
Read any of the books.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, I watch shows on Netflix, I don't know, once every few weeks I'll watch an episode here and there of something, but I don't keep up with much. And it's just, I read instead, and it's not even really a conscientious decision at this point. It's kind of what I would rather do.
Yeah.
And so, you have to pick one thing instead of the other. The other thing I do is I read instead of sleeping. I don't get enough sleep. So I stay up too late or I get up too early and I read during that time. Yeah. And so I'm getting 6 hours of sleep a night. If I was to get 8, I would read a lot fewer books.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah. I think when you recognize that it helps you in so many aspects of life, you don't think about, man, I'm losing sleep over this, or it's taken away from whatever Netflix show. It's just, I'm absolutely happy. And here's the deal. I've talked before. I was not always a reader. I just know, like, this is just a fun use of my time.
Yep.
And I'm actually getting something out of it that's helping all these other areas, making me a better marketer, storytelling, mm-hmm. right? Making me a better husband, I hope. Mm-hmm. Of all the marriage books that I've been reading,
we talked about so many good ones out
and
there.
All yes. the and not to mention yes. all the parenting books I'm reading too.
Yeah.
And all the other self-help books in general. But yeah, no. Yeah.
The thing is, like, if you read with your kids, it's kind of like you are a... You're covering all of your bases in that case because first of all, kids' books are fun.
Yes.
So there's enjoyment. You are you're reading.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing it with your kids. Like that's an invested parenting move, and you are probably supporting your spouse by doing that because while you're doing that, they're either enjoying being part of it or they're enjoying not being part of it. And so like there's a gift there too. So like reading with your kids is sort of the best of all possible worlds in the world of enjoyment, parenting, caring for a spouse, like all those things kind of at once.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, like you, I don't sleep enough. 6 hours is a really good night for me.
Yeah.
I
think last night I got 4.5 hours of sleep. So that could also explain my distinctly angry feelings about cats. I'm just running on a fatigue high.
That's right. He's not quite shaking yet.
Listeners, it does not take a lack of sleep to get Barnabas going on cats.
That's true. That would be a dishonest statement. Yeah. I can't make any excuses.
He could be well rested and go off on a rant like that. But I mean, when I'm with me, it's, you know, we hardly ever watch anything on TV. Like it's on more for the kids than it is us. And then even then it's like an hour a day. And they're reading a ton too. My kids are a year younger than yours. They're just always off reading something. Our oldest, she forgets that anyone else is there. And just gets lost in books, which is a wonderful gift. I have reading that I do specifically for work, so it affects my job. We all talked about that, but we also all will not just read physical books or e-books, but we'll also listen to audiobooks. And so, in the Nashville area, traffic is the worst.
Well, I mean, having lived in Chicago and knowing we probably have listeners in Atlanta, I'm going to go ahead and say there's people who are like, well, actually.
Okay. So don't well actually us.
We have bad traffic. That's a fair statement.
Okay.
Mainly because we have bad drivers.
Yes.
You've made that clear over the years.
Yes. Yeah. And we do our best to not contribute to that. Cars. I'll listen to an audiobook.
Toots is the driving cat. Please tell me you've seen that on SNL.
Sorry. Oh, I remember Toots is the driving cat.
I'm having flashbacks.
There we go. There's the hero cat. It's Toots is the driving cat.
It's the closest we found to a hero cat. We did it, guys.
Well done. Well done.
It's sad. You said driving cat. I'm like, Toots is. How did we not talk about Toots is?
So we'll listen to audiobooks.
The question is the answer, Dave.
Yes. So we'll listen to audiobooks, we'll do stuff like that, and that's part of how we use our time. It's choosing it's not taking that time and, you know, tuning out and, you know, just having background music, although sometimes that's helpful and necessary. It's not, you know, listening to random stuff on the radio. You know, for me, it's when I'm not listening to an audiobook, I'm listening to a podcast.
So you're making a
much
really good,
like this one.
Yeah, exactly.
But not this one.
But not nearly as good as this one because you don't listen to our own podcast.
You're right. You're
listen to it the most because I edit the thing.
I'm so sorry.
You're making a very good point about the fact of our choices we have today. You know, you go back through history in radio, television, and so on, the last, 75, 80 years, you're fed a certain amount, which is really not much. And she just didn't have a lot of choices, really. And so let's look at like the last 10 years in particular. The reality is like everything's on demand in its own version, whether it's through your phone or whatever. And so you have a choice. I mean, don't say you don't have enough time. I mean, if you're like, well, yeah, but I need to work out. Well, guess what? You've got earphones.
Yeah.
And you can download anything on your phone, and audiobooks, whatever.
I try to 3 days a week, I take my daughter to swim, and I'm in the gym at the same time she is. It's like 90% of that time is audiobooks. 10% of the time I listen to music because sometimes I'm in the mood.
It's better.
But that's kind of my breakdown of listening. Yeah. Like, it, another thing you don't, like, you can't keep up on everything that's new. So if you want to keep up on all the new music, you'll probably read fewer books because you will perpetually be finding, searching, playlisting. And that's, like, I think books are more valuable, but also I'm really glad that there are people who are super into music because after a while they start telling me stuff that I should listen to. But, yeah, you just, you fill up the margins of life with book stuff. Mm-hmm. So audiobooks, ebooks. I mean, if you have a phone in your pocket, you can read whenever you are waiting anywhere. You just open up the Kindle app or the iBooks app or whatever and just keep moving on whatever. So there are books that it takes me about a year to read because I read them a page and a half at a time while I'm waiting for my kids at something, you know?
Yeah.
It's like 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there.
Yeah.
And that's just, and I, you know, I think all of us probably read somewhere between 3 and 10 books at once. So that we're kind of constantly, you can kind of reach for a different book at any given time.
Yeah.
And so that that helps you get through a lot more too. Because if you think that you need 30-minute plus windows to read through one book at a time, first of all, you'll get you'll rarely read because those 30-minute windows can be hard to come by. And you'll read a lot fewer books. Whereas if you think, if you have 5 books at hand and you're willing to read in 10-minute increments, you can mow through a lot of books.
Yeah.
And then you throw in listening on top of it.
Yeah. Yep. So, guys, I think this has been a good random discussion.
Yeah, that felt very bipolar to me.
Yeah.
We started off very angry. I'm sorry. I started off very angry. You guys were not.
Yeah.
But we ended, I think, helping
people.
We ended well. But we need to end on another angry note.
We do.
Because somebody needs to get punched in the face.
That's true. So, Barnabas, Dave.
I gave my sucker punch of the week earlier.
Yeah,
I think I gave 20 minutes. That wasn't a sucker punch. That was like a whole
episode. That was Barnabas' sucker punch.
So we're gonna personify that into Garfield.
So Garfield is the sucker?
For you.
He loved lasagna.
For you.
I don't know where I'm
Garfield
going with that.
Garfield was a tool.
Yeah.
He didn't really do much.
Yeah.
But he just, he was really mean to all the nice characters.
I know, including his owner.
True.
I know. Yeah.
It's kind of like a cat.
Because he was a cat.
Yep. Garfield, sucker punch of the week. The Jack Reacher, sucker punch of the week.
That's right.
Also, our apologies, listeners, for having forgotten that. We'll make it up to you.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
I got
Dave.
Mine. Cable news anchors who write history books.
Ooh.
I'm just going to go straight into Dave.
Go get it.
Brian freaking Kilmeade. Let's just start with him and use him as our object. All right. People who know nothing about subjects and they hire researchers to go out there and craft them a history book so they can go in that genre. Because, I saw Bill O'Reilly do that. Okay.
Yeah.
And the reality is these guys don't know anything. It's all just a big hired experiment and your average person's getting fooled by it. And I'm all for popular history. I think you can write it well.
Yes
we've talked, I mean, ones we've talked about, John Meacham, Doris Kearns Goodwin, David McCullough, that's good popular history writing. And we encourage that. It's good storytelling overall. But these guys, drives me nuts. Sucker punch. Boom. Done with them.
So I texted you guys about one, and it's one that there has to be a proxy for. So I was listening to and reading at the same time. So doubling up on my use of it. The Boys in the Boat, which was excellent, by the way.
Yeah.
Super great. If you liked Unbroken. You would really enjoy this book. So it's about a rowing team that goes to the Olympics and primarily focuses in on one of the rowers, a man named Joe Rance. And
it's a great name, by the way.
It is. It is. And his stepmother was awful to him. Just the worst. Now, she had a whole bunch of issues of her own, but she was cruel and vindictive toward him, and his father did nothing to curtail this, to the point, like, even going along with abandoning his son when he was a teenager. And so Both of them deserve the sucker punch, but the dad gets it.
All right. I like it.
That was a widely varied collection of sucker punches. We've got cartoon felines, we've got Fox News anchors. Cable news anchors.
Thank you.
And
we're using Brian Kilmeade as the target.
I read into that one a little bit.
Yes.
And then you should. And then historical terrible dads.
That's right.
I've got one of those for a future. A future sucker punch. But
okay. All right. That's a professional radio tease,
ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. There you go. All right. And finally, gentlemen, what are you reading?
Thanks to both of you, or Aaron, I can't remember, The Bright Side of Life, Eric Idle.
Ooh,
listen to the audiobook
now. That is an Aaron recommendation.
It is one of the funniest audiobooks I have ever listened to.
Oh, good.
Yes, it is really funny.
Well, I'm saying that for real because mine is an audiobook that I did not enjoy and I was so disappointed. So I want to hear about the one that you really did enjoy.
Yeah. Well, I've had some mild ones lately. It's okay. I mean, I enjoyed the Ellie Kemper one, but like this was like I am laughing the entire time. And this is like the importance whenever you get a comedian's memoir. Like whenever they kind of go off script a little bit and their inflections really come out with it, then suddenly their characters come back and it's 10 times funnier too. Mm-hmm. So there you go. All right.
Yep.
So mine is kind of the flip side of that experience, which is it's an audiobook from a comedian who I think is hilarious and the audiobook just wasn't.
Oh no.
And it's Yes Please by Amy Poehler.
I looked at the reviews on it.
Yeah.
Amy Poehler as a screenwriter, bit writer for SNL, you know, their news anchor, actress, performer. She's really funny.
Mm-hmm.
All of her charisma comes through. None of it came through. Mm. And she reads her own audiobook too, which was disappointing.
And so the
jokes fell flat. I gave up about halfway through because I was like, comedy things don't get better halfway through. They're funny or they're not.
It should sustain you the whole time.
Pretty disappointing because I think she's pretty brilliant, but apparently this is not the medium in which she shines most.
That's disappointing.
Yes, Please by Amy Poehler got
No, please.
Yes.
No, please to Yes, Please.
No, thank you was my response to Yes, Please.
All right. Well, let's keep in the comedy vein here.
Where are we going?
Okay. Food, A Love Story by Jim Gaffigan.
What are you giving it?
It's funny.
Okay,
so
I read Dad is Fat a while back. I never read Food, A Love Story. Have you read both?
I've done Dad is Fat.
Which did you enjoy more?
Well, I've just gotten into Food, A Love Story.
Okay, then maybe we should hold off.
We will withhold
final judgment. Next podcast, it may be a little bit yet
because my wife and I are reading it together and laughing out loud a lot. So.
Right.
But the description of being an Edie versus a foodie is gold.
Just the concept is making me chuckle, and I've never read him. All right,
exactly.
I will add this one to my list. Gaffigan is a good favorite of mine.
He's good times. So guys, thanks for meandering through this conversation. And
I'd like to offer my insincere apologies to cat owners out there.
That's true.
You know, I feel like I owe you an apology, but I don't feel sorry. So that's my insincere apology.
There you go. And my Canadian is rising up because of all your sniffing. And I want to apologize to Aaron Bartels and all of our listeners in general for that. So anyway, moving on. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy the show. Do leave your 5-star review for the show and your dog. So, catch you later. Bye, guys.